Your favorite Voice America Talk Radio Network shows and hosts are in your car, outdoors, and wherever you need them to be.
Listen anywhere.
Get our mobile app for iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android at the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
It's time to hear the truth, unfiltered. It's Sean Salisbury, unfiltered. He's played football, baseball, and basketball. He played pro football for 10 years, and he's been a broadcaster for 12 years. Now he takes it to the internet radio airwaves. Get ready for sports talk like you've never heard before. Now, here's Sean Salisbury.
Hey, good morning. How you doing? I got a wild hair up my ass today, so there's some things that we're going to talk about that are football related. Obviously, we'll break down the games and continue to go. And you know, Baltimore Ravens are killing, the fans are killing Joe Flacco, and I get it. I completely get it, as they should. But I'm going to tell you, you know, Joe didn't play well when it mattered. But I'm going to tell you right now, Ravens fans, you might want to start pointing finger towards that defense because the Pittsburgh Steelers treated him like a bitch. And I picked the Ravens to go to the Super Bowl. They treated him like a big bitch, okay, with a capital B. Third and 19, third and 12 to Hines Ward, third and 19, get by the secondary. That ain't Joe Flacco's fault. You know, I've been waiting for a reason to think, and I've been getting messages, oh, they're just beating Flacco up, fine and dandy. But, you know, when you get treated like a bitch, and I say that one more time, when the Pittsburgh Steelers treat your secondary like a bitch in your defense and you give up 31 points, do me a favor. Don't put that on Joe Flacco. Okay? Flacco deserves some abuse. I get it, but save it. First of all, Greg Madison, what a shock. Things don't happen well, and all of a sudden he's off to the University of Michigan. Oh, okay. Shocking. And, you know, good defensive coordinator, but you know what? You don't ever put your defense in a position to where somebody can get behind you. And at the corner position, you don't ever put yourself in a position, I don't care what the coach calls. If he calls man coverage and play off 17 yards, you zone blitz, you make them throw hot, and you tackle them and make them punt. And no time ever at third and 19 do you let a guy run down by you by the sidelines. Okay? The Baltimore Ravens deserve to lose. Their offense went into the tank. They choked on a turkey bone. Okay? Up with those 21 points right off the bat. They're called gacking and choking it away. Steelers have more moxie, more toughness, mentally, emotionally, physically tougher, period. Doesn't mean you're better than Ray, or doesn't mean you're better than Ed Reed, doesn't mean you're better than Haloti Ngata, or doesn't mean you're better than Terrell Suggs. But as an overall unit, Pittsburgh's better than Baltimore. Quarterback's far better. So the bottom line, deal with it. And defensive coordinator's far better, too, because Dick LeBeau wouldn't have done defensively what the Pittsburgh Steelers did to the Baltimore Ravens and what the Ravens did defensively to allow Pittsburgh to get by them. And again, this is coming from a guy who picked Baltimore to be in the Super Bowl in August. 888-346-9144. They treated him like a bitch. I don't care who you are. If a coach calls it, that's one of those, if a coach calls it, you first of all look at the coach and say, well, is this the coverage we want to be in? If he says yes, then you just say to yourself, okay, well, if coach is ignorant enough to call this, I'm not going to be dumb enough to let somebody get behind me. And Baltimore did. Baltimore giving up 31 points. I don't care if Joe Flacco was Moses, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, anybody in between, Dalai Lama, I don't care who he is. You ain't beating the Pittsburgh Steelers team giving up 31 points. Okay, you got bitch slapped in the worst way. Deal with it. So Baltimore fans, you can point fingers at all you want, and Joe needs to get better to be an elite quarterback because he's not. But I can assure as hell tell you this, your Baltimore Ravens are a good defense. They're not great. Great defenses don't give up 31 points. Great defenses don't give up 31 points in a divisional playoff game. Sorry, they're really good with some great players. Baltimore Ravens can be pushed around. They're really good. They're not great. Okay, sorry, not great. So Baltimore's not moving on. A couple other things, and we'll get to these matchups. I just need to let Ravens fans, who I love, I go on a radio show every Thursday morning in Baltimore. Some of my favorite fans on the planet are in that part of the country, and they treat me great. But you guys got to recognize, number one, there's a reason Greg Madison sprinted off as a defensive coordinator for the Baltimore Ravens to go be the defensive coordinator at the University of Michigan. And good gracious, getting rid of, was it Greg Robinson, their defensive coordinator? Everywhere that guy goes, he kills teams. And Michigan couldn't have stopped me. I could have pissed on Michigan's defense's face, laughed at their coordinator, and still run for 180 against that team. What an awful, awful, awful Greg Robinson defense. And it's amazing. I've played against Greg Robinson, nice guy, but every team he's been on, look at his here history. Every defensive team he's defensive coordinated have sucked ass. Well, Baltimore, Michigan got better with their coach, but also with their defensive coordinator. But you don't think the Baltimore Ravens were thinking, Coach Madison, we may not want to be in this position. So he left. Baltimore fans, I love you, but you as well as I know, that football team wasn't exactly an immovable object. They got pushed around. Ron Franklin suing ESPN over his words to he was terminated a couple weeks ago when he called her sweet baby and an asshole talking to Janine Edwards when she walked in the room. And I did a little bit of research and digging on this, and I'm not going to tell you who said it because I don't sell people out, or who, should I say, told on Ron Franklin. Remember, one of my biggest concerns was that why you can't take a couple people in a room and fix it, and nobody needed to go run into the producer and put him in that situation. Janine Edwards didn't go tell on him. Janine Edwards wasn't the one who went and cried to a producer. And I love her for that. Now, you shouldn't be treated like Ron said and be condescended. You shouldn't be calling her sweet baby and asshole. But you know what? These tough women in sports, and I've been around some tough ones, Susie Culver, Andrea Kramer, I've been around some tough ones, boy, that are damn good at their job but will not take shit from anybody. Turn right around and say, no, Ron, you can kiss my ass, you asshole, if that's how the conversation was going to go. I like Ron, too. I'm just paraphrasing what could have happened in a conversation. And you get everybody in a room and say, Ron, you're a dick for saying that. You know, don't do that. Don't do this. Don't do that. Let's move on. We got a broadcast to do and forget it. I give Janine Edwards, while she didn't deserve the berating, Janine was professional enough to say, well, we'll let this go and we'll work it out on her own. I'll let him know. She didn't go run into somebody else. It was somebody else who did. And I give her a ton of credit for standing strong and not doing that. Now, Ron Sue and ESPN, they said, the breach of contract by the termination without proper cause. And, you know, I found it a little curious that a guy would say, put it this way, they wanted him out, folks. They wanted Ron Franklin out. Now, whoever side you disagree or agree with, I'm not choosing sides. I could care less. I've worked with Ron before. Ron can be extremely condescending. He'll talk over you. I mean, there's no question. And to say that to a woman who's a part of your broadcast team is inexcusable. But after 25 years at ESPN, having been in that building, did calling somebody an asshole or sweet baby or suspension, sure. You say, take your week suspension without pay or 2 weeks. We're going to give you 4 games off the basketball season, and we'll see you in a little while. They wanted him out. After 25 years of service, and when people have been suspended 2 and 3 times at that company and have not been fired, Ron could be a pain in the ass. I'm quite sure. Like I said, I've worked with him, and Ron's a very, very strong personality and condescending at times, as he was with this. I love Janine Edwards, and she's a strong, good girl, and I knew that she wouldn't be the type that would Janine didn't cause any of this. I can assure you of that. She's always just done her job and been a pro. That being said, looking at the other side, I listen to people call each other far worse than in the control room and cuss each other out. I listen to talent berate. I've listened to it all. And it happens at every network. Don't kid yourself. But calling somebody an asshole and saying that, does it require firing or a suspension? After 25 years, I would say that it probably, they were looking for a reason to get rid of him, whether he was making too much money or whatever it was, looking for a reason. They got rid of him, so Ron suing. I'm proud of Janine Edwards for standing up tall for herself. I don't like what Ron said, and he should have been slapped on the hand. But does it forgive me? Is that the world we're in now? You call somebody an asshole, and you're disagreeing in a high-pressure job, all of a sudden let's just fire him? Is it? Do we got to walk on eggshells in everything we do? Disrespect equals suspension. Insubordination and awful, awful things equal getting fired, I guess. But it's their business. ESPN can do what they want. They treated me great for 12 years. 12 years I was there. If you have your differences, yes. There's some things that you wish that somebody would have done or somebody said in your behalf in certain situations, sure. But you know what? I'm sure Ron's got a case, but I give Jeanine Edwards, and my main reason for saying this is I love Jeanine Edwards, and I'm grateful that she is a strong, strong woman, because I know a lot of that's one thing they do produce there with some talent, like I said, with the Susies and Andreas, who's now at NBC, and you know Aaron Andrews. And stuff. I mean, I can go a little Linda Cohn, strong, strong personality. You got to be that in that business, because if you're not, you get eaten alive. You get eaten alive if you're a female, because they got so much to overcome to prove that they know sports, which those girls I just named do, but to also prove. And then Robin Roberts, another one, tough as hell. You know, Robin's obviously on her morning show. She's overcome cancer. I mean, just a special lady. But Robin wasn't taking any crap from anybody when she was there either. And I love those strong women. And in a guy's business, it's more and more turning to where more women. But I'm just talking about overall, this male-dominated business, whether you like it or not, you got to be strong. And those women are strong. And I give them a lot of credit for it. The Carmelo Anthony deal is off. Now, when you say it's off, it's just like when a coach gives an owner gives a coach an endorsement, a pat on the back saying, we're not going to fire you, and then 2 days later fires him. It makes you wonder, and this Prokhorov or the owner, the Russian billionaire who owns the New Jersey Nets, said he's calling the deal off and walking away, and it was his decision. Couldn't pull the trigger, didn't. Now they can get rid of the distraction. Makes me wonder, is it really off? But as of right now, it is, which is good for Denver. I'm sure Chauncey Billups loves it. Being a Denver guy, doesn't want to be a part of a trade, would like to stay there. I know Carmelo Anthony wants that, but would you rather play in New Jersey at that place or Denver? Now, I understand if the Knicks jump into this deal, I get that. It's Madison Square Garden, the Mecca of basketball, that I get. But until New Jersey moves, I believe they're moving to Brooklyn in the next couple years. No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. If you're some of those guys like Devin Harris, who was going to leave, you're like, please get me to Denver. Better chance to win right now. That being said, Carmelo drops 35 against Oklahoma City, and he's still a Denver Nugget. So the Russian billionaire has called it off. A few other things looking at. Hugh Jackson was affiliated with the head coach of the Raiders, and congratulations, my man, was affiliated with this company that's like I don't want to say performance enhancing, but a supplement company, but the NFL frowns on it. They don't want any of their, coaches or people endorsing products like that. So he had to get rid of his affiliation. But there's also rumor that there's a spray that people use, that NFL players use, and Ray Lewis's name was linked to it, blah, 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 that it may have some HGH in a human growth hormone, but it's not illegal to spray it, that people have been using it all over, which makes it a moot point. Why are we even talking about it? I understand why the NFL made Hugh give up his relationship, his endorsement or whatever it is, his affiliation with them. I get that, and Hugh complied, and everything's fine. But now we're going to start chasing a ghost and saying, ooh, somebody sprayed it. It's a spray. Sprayed it on their body, and there's some part of it. It's not illegal, but there's some part of it in there that may contain HGH, which may make it illegal. What the NFL is going to do, they're going to look into it, and that'll be on the banned substance list next year. But I don't want to hear everybody chasing a ghost. I'm so tired of the NFL and people chasing a ghost. Ooh, we got a drug problem in sports. Really? Really? We got a drug problem in sports. What a friggin' shock. I can tell you this. Alcohol is a bigger problem than steroids or HGH is. Other prescription drugs are a far bigger problem in the entertainment/football sports world than any HGH performance-enhancing bullshit that they're trying to chase a ghost with. Okay, it's a spray. Now people that hate Ray are going to want to say, oh, Ray was linked. Give me a break. And my whole thing is, if it's not illegal, kiss my ass. If it's not illegal, I can go, then I can just like drinking water. If it's not illegal, until you tell me it's illegal, I spray it till the cows come home, Ray. And anybody else that's using it, spray it. If it helps you get better, and you feel better, and it makes you feel better, but it's not illegal in the NFL, what's the big deal? you can buy it and it's not illegal, hell, use it. Use it. Why do you think some of these actors or golfers at one point were taking beta blockers? Supposedly, they calm your nerve. Well, doesn't a putter want a nerve calmer when he's sitting over a putt? Or an actor when they're trying to get a line so they calm? I got news for you. HGH is the least of the problems you need to worry about in the NFL when it comes to drugs and recreational drugs of abuse or things that are a problem. The far biggest problem in any sport's alcohol, period. Period, and prescription drugs, and it ain't close. It ain't close. So people don't want to, ooh, somebody's linked to this or somebody's linked to that. Until you've been found guilty in a drug test, and until somebody tells you you can't use it, it's illegal, to me, it's a moot point. It means we're chasing a ghost and just looking to dig bullshit on somebody who does it. No problem here. If you can enhance your performance and it's not illegal, get after it, my friend. Get after it. It's like the hypocritical people of baseball, who now that the Mark McGuire's and Canseco's and Rafael Palmeiro's, these people that have used steroids, or Andy Pettit admitting he used a drug to heal, and now, nobody bothers Andy because he admitted it. And I understand that, and I get that. Admitting it and telling you sorry and apologize, Roger Clemens, the people, Barry Bonds, all these people that are linked to it or have or haven't passed the test or going through court cases. The truth of the matter is that we didn't have drug testing in the 70s, but do we have any idea what they were taking? Was there a performance-enhancing drug in the 70s? Why have we just completely eliminated decades and decades of guys who may have been doing a drug, and all of a sudden before we're vilifying guys who didn't have to test positive because baseball was – certain people have never tested positive for the drug, yet allegations keep them out of the Hall of Fame or have people questioning them. Allegations alone. That's the sick part of our country. You read a little of a blog or a little snippet from somebody, and the first thing you think is, yep, he's got it because some guy sitting at home decided to write about it. Whether they're credible or not, and people at home are dumb enough to just believe anything they read. I'm talking about flat-out dumbass enough to believe everything they read. And if you're one of those people out there, then you're dumber than the people who are taking the drug. And ought to be ashamed of yourself. If you're caught and it's illegal and you do it, then fine. But we've kind of taken that group of players that played against each other a certain time and kind of forgot that didn't baseball exist in the 60s and 70s and in the early 80s? How do we know? Why aren't we punishing somebody in the 70s who may have been taken? We just decided we're not going there, huh? So we've just decided there's a certain time in baseball lore that we're just going to eliminate. Because I got news for you. Before they tested for steroids in the NFL, not only was it steroids, but far speed and everything else, handfuls of it for people to get by during a game to get them jacked up. But we don't even have a problem with that. And we're killing certain people in baseball that haven't even been found guilty. The speculation is what keeps people guessing. It's just the speculation. And then you got a guy like Lance Armstrong. Was he the 7-time Tour de France winner? And if you say a bad word about Lance Armstrong, and I've never met Lance Armstrong, what he's done for cancer, and my dad who died of cancer, what Lance Armstrong's done for cancer awareness and raising money is, and Nike combined with him and his foundation Live Strong, is nothing short of amazing. It's nothing short of amazing, and he'll be a hero to so many forever. No matter, there are certain people Lance Armstrong could kill 14 people, could be found guilty of taking 400 drugs and of being dirty in every Tour de France, and you know what? Those people still love him because of the attention to cancer, because he's a cancer survivor. They'll love him. And I get that completely. My dad didn't survive cancer. And we know many who have and many who've lost that battle. And to those who love Lance Armstrong for it, I don't have any reason to tell you you shouldn't, because this is about life, not about riding Tour de France or about whatever it takes to help you overcome or to help you survive cancer, to help you have that motivation or that positive attitude that helps you overcome that. I don't have a problem. But there is speculation now. He's never been found guilty. There's speculation out there, deep speculation, that Lance Armstrong's been linked big time, to performance-enhancing drugs, which would put him in a category of some other people that have been in trouble. Now, the question is, do you want the truth? Should we let it go because it's Lance, or guilty until proven innocent or innocent until proven guilty. I love what he's done for cancer and the money he's raised. And Lance says he's got absolutely nothing to worry about, which is great. But do you vilify him before or after the fact? If they never find anything, are people just the speculation going to just hover over Lance Armstrong? The difference he's made in cancer patients is as big a difference as anybody that's ever been an athlete towards cancer. There's no question about it. Money and attention. The question is, where do we go with this? Do we pick and choose who is and who isn't illegal? Lance Armstrong hasn't been proven anything guilty. But, man, people are going haywire now because somebody said it. It's crazy, man. It's crazy. Talk more about that. Talk more about football and matchups. I'm Sean Salisbury. We're Unfiltered here till 11 Central. Be right back.
Become our friend on Facebook. Post on our wall your thoughts about our shows and network. Visit Facebook.com/Voice America.
The IS Outdoors Talk Radio Show brings two well-known outdoorsmen to the Voice America Network. We talk about everything from new sporting gear, places to hunt and fish, and how to get more from your recreation time. Join hosts Brock Ray and Don Kirk with their combined experience of 60 years in the woods. Brock and Don have traveled widely, creating TV shows and writing articles on hunting and fishing. Blessed with down-home humor, they're also well-versed in environmental concerns, firearms ownership, and animal rights issues. Tune in every Thursday morning at 9 a.m. Pacific Time to IS Outdoors with Brock Ray and Don Kirk, right here on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Now you can take your favorite Voice America radio program with you anywhere. Sign up for our mobile app if you have an iPhone, Android, or BlackBerry. The Voice America Interactive Radio Player, powered by Aircast, gives you the freedom to listen to any of our programs anywhere, live, and on demand. No registration is required. Listen to your favorite Voice America hosts and discover new ones. Download the Voice America mobile app for iPhone, Android, or BlackBerry, powered by Aircast. Visit the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
Go behind the scenes of what you see, hear, and read on the news. Learn the ins and outs of public relations on Stars of PR with Cindy R. every Thursday at 7 a.m. Pacific Time. Cindy Rakowitz is a Clio Award winner and founder of Rock and Roll Public Relations, who wants to share her PR experiences and knowledge with you. Learn how to handle a crisis, deal with celebrities, and become a terrific PR executive. Listen to the Stars of PR with Cindy R. every Thursday at 7 a.m. Pacific Time here on News Talk Radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
Are you a real sports fan? Get ready to talk football and anything else sports with Kwame Lassiter. Formerly with the Arizona Cardinals, San Diego Chargers, and St. Louis Rams, Kwame's got the experience, so he's prepared to talk sports with you every week on Kwame Lassiter's Sports Talk. It's on the Voice America Sports Network every Tuesday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, noon Eastern Time. Get ready for unpredictable fun and sometimes a sarcastic look at the world of sports. That's Kwame Lassiter's Sports Talk on the Voice America Sports Network.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
You're locked in to Sean Salisbury, Unfiltered, on the Voice America Sports Channel. To make your voice heard, call in to 888-346-9144. That's 888-346-9144. Or send an email to SeanSals@gmail.com. That's SeanSals@gmail.com. Now, back to the show.
So, you know, to me, what do you do? Do you investigate what happened, and is Lance Armstrong guilty? And you know what? Some people, like I said, will be, if you say one bad thing about it, they go through the roof about Lance, and I get it. I don't know him. I mean, he's been linked to it, as a lot of these, obviously, bikers are, these people who race. The question is, is it true or is it not? And right now, until he's proven it guilty or he's innocent to me. I just don't understand. And we have to see it. And he says he's got no worries about it. And he's been Teflon how it is so far. But his dedication to doing the right thing by cancer has been enormous, and a lot of people do it. But does that make it right? If, in fact, the question I guess you broach is, if, in fact, he was found guilty, does that change your opinion on the man and his fight against cancer? Or is he still a hero? And I think when it comes to cancer and what he's done there, I think it makes him a hero. Now, if you want to separate the two, which you should, the man in his sport, the man in overcoming cancer, then I think he deserves that. So I think you don't ever put the two, well, he overcame cancer, so if he was illegal racing bikes and at the Tour de France, then it's okay because he overcame cancer and he helped me to overcome cancer. You've got to be able to separate the two. Just like you would say to me, you separate the two when it comes to Lawrence Taylor. Great football player belongs in the Hall of Fame because being a good guy isn't part of the criteria to get in the Hall of Fame. And on the other side, you say, guy's got some issues and needs some help and needs some work on a lot of things. And do you put your arm around him, kick him in the ass? I'm not sure what you do. But Lawrence has had some problems with drugs and obviously with this most recent situation. So do you separate the two? Yeah, you need to separate the two because what he did on the field has absolutely nothing to do with what he did off the field. You know, justice in one, and he went out there and he got justice in the other. Revolutionized the position, belongs in the Hall of Fame for his performance on the field. And until part of the criteria says being a cool dude and a great guy, then guess what? It doesn't matter. When he lined up on Sundays, he kicked your ass. And so you've got to be able to separate the two. You may not like Lawrence Taylor, the man, or how he deals with his private life, and I'm sure many don't. Some who know Lawrence Taylor love the guy beyond belief. Bill Parcells loved Lawrence Taylor, and I'm sure still does and recognizes that, you know, he has some things going on. Bill's always been a big supporter of Lawrence, and he also was a big supporter of him on the field because he got him some Super Bowl rings. So you've got to separate the two. Same thing with Lance Armstrong. And until we know, there's no separation required yet because Lance Armstrong, he doesn't have a Tour de France taken away. He hasn't been stripped of anything. So you can't, and I would caution judgment against him until further notice. But if you're one of those who reads and says, oh, there it goes, you know, Steve Jones was involved with smoking marijuana in his car and the cops went and hasn't been arrested yet and you just want to start a story, then you're pathetic. You really are, and you just want to do it because you want to post it and Facebook it and tweet it and put it on Twitter that this just because that's what you do, then you fall under the fan that's a ghost chaser, and you know that's your business. You're entitled to your opinion, but when you start spreading rumors about somebody like a Lance Armstrong that you don't know are true, give your opinion, fine. But it's one thing, Chase, here's the problem in our media these days and in fans and everybody else, because fans now are basically media. You go on, you can create your own blog, radio show, you can go create your own blog, you can go, you're not held accountable. Anything you say, you go on a blog, you're not held accountable. You don't have to have sources or anything. The problem these days is, and it's coming all the way back to media too. They don't just report the news, they create it. And fans and bloggers, people can just create news. You can say whatever you want. It just depends on how popular you are and who's a dumb enough asshole to believe it. If it's true, great. Keep your sources going, get paid for it. But if you're one of those that likes to create it instead of just report it, then you're a dumb shit and we're stupid for believing it. And that goes along with this Lance Armstrong. Has not been found guilty. You could speculate all the hell you want, but until you come back with the positive facts that Lance Armstrong's guilty, whether he is or not, whether you like the guy or not, no matter what. All that is speculation and bullshit. And when it comes to Lance Armstrong as far as the cancer goes, you can't argue that either. The guy's made an impact on people's lives that will go far and above some stupid-ass Tour de France that he won. Okay? Let's get out to Anthony in New York. Anthony, what's going on, my man?
Hey, Sean, how are you?
I'm doing good. A little fired up this morning.
Yeah, I'm with you. I was going to call in, and you started talking about the, you know, this whole whatever. You know, it's still big in sports, the whole HGH, steroids, and whatever. And wanted to talk about Lance Armstrong. You know, Lance, like you said, you have to somehow separate the cancer battle from the doping if it did happen and whatever.
Right.
You know, which is kind of tough to do, especially you and I. We've dealt with cancer, you know, pretty close, so it's kind of hard to separate it. You know, because you know, I've, you know, you've seen the pictures of Lance, you know, in the hospital after his treatment or whatever. He looks horrible. You know, he looks horrible. You look at him, he looks like he's about to die. And then, you know, a couple of years later, he's on his bike, you know, winning the Tour de France. If that's not inspirational towards people, I mean, I don't know, you know, what is. And, you know, here's a guy who, you know, he hasn't done the Tour de France in what, it's been 2 years now?
Yes.
You know, it's been 2 years. At what point do you just, you know, give up already? You know what I mean? It's like there's just some people out there, like you said, whether it's bloggers or whoever, that just can't, they won't rest until this guy is, you know, until something is finally, you know, found positive.
Or until they've created such enough crap that we've made, that they've turned something that's non-existent into something that is. I've been a part of it.
Mm-hmm.
Trust me, I know. And people have been a part of it where you could take 10% of a story that may be true or 6% of a story and turn it to the point where it becomes like a wave of, I mean, you can't stop it.
Right.
And so if he's found, you know, if he's found guilty and they say he was doping during one of his Tour de France, and strip him of one of his seven. Blame, yeah. Okay, fine. But see, that's the problem. People want to create it. There's somebody sitting at home now saying, how can I shit on him and piss on him even though we don't have any facts? They're
right.
Begging for it. You want to know why? Because they're trying to make themselves famous.
Yeah.
They're trying to say, I'm the one who found out. Now, if it's true, now, see, good reporters, there's a difference between good reporting, Anthony, as you know, and
mm-hmm.
good investigative journalists who do their due diligence,
right?
Get their three or four or five sources,
mm-hmm.
and find out, and see a positive test, and do it, and have an inside information. Those are the great, you know, whether it's a 60 Minutes reporter, whether
mm-hmm.
it's an ESPN 360 reporter on that great show they do, whether it's somebody doing their job, that
right.
I get.
Mm-hmm.
I get the Chris Mortensen's finding out who the next head coach for some team is going to be, or Adam
right.
Schefter, these guys who do great homework
mm-hmm.
and get inside information. That's great.
Right.
You know what? Or when you discover that somebody's done drugs and you finally get it and they show us, yep, it was a true test and somebody broke, you know. Hell,
right.
When Jose Canseco is your best source and it ends up being true, but we're still vilifying that guy yet. Nobody's patting him on the back for actually saying what actually did happen.
Right, exactly.
He killed Canseco, whether you like him or not, or the way he does things. The bottom line is, Canseco obviously wasn't bullshitting.
And no, everything he said is true.
It's pretty obvious. So
yeah.
he became your most reliable source. Yet, it's the people who go out there, and like I said, I call it chasing a ghost.
Yeah.
And my mother calls it borrowing trouble.
Mm-hmm.
It's like worrying about something.
Yeah.
That just because somebody's invented it, you start worrying about something that's not even out there, and you're borrowing trouble for no reason.
Right.
And it's a good lesson that my mother taught. Don't borrow trouble, hell. And it's the same thing with this Lance Armstrong. Why would Lance, if he, like he said, I got nothing to worry about. He's going on with his day, raising money for cancer, doing
right.
whatever he does. So
mm-hmm.
I just, it drives me crazy
right.
when people just hunt and peck just to be annoying and try to hurt somebody. That's my biggest problem.
Right.
Is to chase somebody. They don't understand the damn collateral damage that you do to somebody if it's mm-hmm. not true.
Right.
Because if it is true, then fine, we'll be found out. But the collateral damage people do to somebody that isn't true is not just a damage to the guy's reputation in sports
mm-hmm.
or in entertainment or whatever business you're in. It's complete damage to his life, and I've
right.
lived it.
Yeah.
Collateral damage isn't good.
No, and I look at it from the standpoint of, especially with Lance Armstrong, you have to realize the millions of people that he's an inspiration for. I mean, even me myself. I mean, I have a whole closet full of the whole Live Strong, you know, line, shirt.
Absolutely.
You know, I've been wearing the bracelet for 6 years. So, to me, why aren't the people that come out with these stories that turn out to be unfounded, why aren't they persecuted? And then this guy's got to put up with, and all the people, like I said, the millions of people that he's an inspiration for, that wear the bracelets, wear the clothes, that look to him as like, you know, I'm going to get through like Lance did. Why don't we find somebody who's a criminal to pick on? Why do we have to pick on somebody like that?
You mean, yeah, somebody who actually is a problem?
Right.
I don't know, Anthony. And here's we don't regulate. Here's the problem. So you can go right now and go write a blog,
mm-hmm.
and you can start seven rumors that are, you could say that I'm gay. You could say that, you know, John Elway is got two wives. You know, you could go on and say anything. And do you know that there's not a damn thing that we can do to you?
Right. You could hide.
There's not a damn thing. You have no accountability. It's your, but you write whatever you want.
Mm-hmm.
And now, most people would look at it and say, well, the guy's full of shit. But
right.
there are people out there, and you know this, that not only look for it, but love it, thrive on it. The fan, they'll say, oh, then they'll make some wisecrack on their post. It happens. I'm sure many of people are killing Lance Armstrong over this without even knowing any facts. Just to pile on, they love it. Mm-hmm. That you, there's no accountability. There is a, there is no accountability. You're not getting in trouble. You can't be sued. What are you going to say? It's your opinion. You can't be sued.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I give my opinion, but when you're writing it as fact, you know, it's just, and the harm that it does to somebody's reputation. In Lance Armstrong, the case, I mean, look into it. Great. Do your due diligence as a journalist, but don't start posting stuff.
Right.
And write stuff until you got me some facts. That's my thing. If you want to write a column saying, here's what we should do, just like you and I are talking, be able to separate the two, and let's see where it goes, and let's see if the facts, and if the facts aren't there, do we ever get a retraction from somebody saying they're sorry for ruining a guy's reputation, but, oh, sorry, it doesn't matter now, I guess it wasn't true, what a bummer, because they're not held accountable? Of course we don't.
Right.
Unless you're working at the New York Times or the LA Times, and then you get fired by your editor for putting up there, you know, for writing false, you know, for lying, and you'll get that. But I'm talking about just in the blogosphere and those things.
Right.
There's no accountability. And so it's who chooses to believe it and who follows the that kind of stuff is the problem.
No, yeah, I look back to, I remember it was a few years back with the reporter, I forget her name, it skips my head for a second, who wrote about the Duke lacrosse players, who were later acquitted. They did nothing wrong, but these guys' images are tarnished for the rest of their lives.
Forever, because you know what? They were walking up and down campus, and you know what people were doing, Anthony?
What's that?
They were whispering.
Yeah.
They'd see him in class, or they'd see him in a bar, and those guys became pariahs.
Mm-hmm.
Because of two... Because of the situation, somebody said something. So she's doing this and trying to, she's going to become a top reporter. And, you know, I don't even know if she's even got a job or what she's doing now. But what she did to those families, and not forget the guys, because you come back and say, you know, screw you.
Right.
But the collateral damage she did to families and reputations, because there's still people out there that believe that they did it.
Right.
And they've been proven innocent.
Mm-hmm.
Proven innocent.
Yeah.
Proven it was lying bullshit. Yet... the damage, the collateral damage that people say, oh, and then, you know, I hear this. Oh, he's a celebrity. He's got, like in the Tiger Woods thing. Now, he was guilty of it. He admitted it. But people, here's their philosophy. Oh, he's rich. So what? He did it. He screwed it. He should have been, you know. But there's a different comparison because Duke was innocent. I'm using Tiger as an example just because he's got money. That the point is that had the Duke players been superstars or going on to bigger careers, even though their reputation was damaged, there are people out there who think, oh, it doesn't matter. Got money, but no big deal. Who cares? A little doesn't hurt him. Doesn't hurt him.
Yep.
Tiger Woods, you know, using him as an example, he made a major mistake, and then the piling on and the beating him up. He's got two young kids that are going to grow up, and you know what? They're going to open up the internet and every text forever.
Yep.
So, and I understand people are going to say, well, he cheated on with all these different. Okay, I get that part. He didn't go to jail. He didn't do anything, break any laws. He broke moral laws. But it's those people that pile on are going to be the same people. There are people out there. That someday, somehow, these Duke guys, and some may already have kids,
mm-hmm.
that their kids are going to say, well, Dad, what was this?
Right, exactly.
And you're going to have to explain and say, well, son, and then there's just going to be a little bit of doubt in the kid's head of, well, did it really happen? Really, tell me, Dad, what happened? And, of course, you believe in loving your parents, but what I'm saying is, or you're going to go apply for a job, and somebody's going to say, ooh, Duke lacrosse. That's the first thing you think about Duke lacrosse now is not as good a lacrosse. I mean, they're a top lacrosse team all the time, very good.
Yes.
The first thing that hits your mind is,
Yeah,
I remember that story.
Yeah.
And it's not right.
No. And and the woman who wrote that story about the lacrosse players, she came out, whatever, a few years later, and she was the one who wrote the story about A-Rod and the infidelity with his wife and this and that. So who knows how many stories she wrote before the A-Rod one, which was finally true, that weren't true, you know? I mean, how many articles do I get to write before I could actually break one?
Good. Well, then let's pat her on the back. She's right 40% of the time. That's great. A-Rod's on his wife. Oh, but by the way, the Duke thing was wrong. Maybe this one's right and this one's wrong. And you know what? Do you think, does she owe the Duke people? And I mean, now what she says, she can come back and apologize and write an article saying, but you know what? Nobody, it's like anything. Do you remember? Nobody remembers the second guy who punched somebody in the face.
No.
It's the first, you know what I'm saying? So it's the collateral damage that somebody does that's false that you sit there and say, and even if a person makes a mistake.
Yep.
Like Tiger Woods has, and he made a monumental mistake. Not only sponsors, and talk about a guy serving his time. He's lost a wife and children. I mean, you know, he's still the dad. When I say lost him, he's not going to live under the same roof, and it's crazy. And as big a mistake as he made, does there come a point in time where we got to take a step back and say, okay, man, let's let the guy now we've everything that could be written and every monologue and joke a comedian could make, do we ever come back and say, okay, the guy screwed up. Can we now let him try to let him try to repair it with his kids and try to at least have a normal life to where he doesn't repeat it again. He went through a time there. He's an athlete. Women are throwing at him. Bad idea. I get it. I'm not condoning what he did at all. My point is I'm giving both sides that if people would take a step back and forget the money and the stardom and take a look and say, oh, my gosh, these two young kids of his are going to grow up and say, that was my daddy?
Right. No. No one cares. No one cares about that.
And it's sad, and the sad thing about it is we got to look above, whether it's true or false or anything, we got to look at the impact it makes on the collateral damage it makes on others. And if it's true, then you know what? You take your abuse and you move on, and there comes a point in time that 10 years from now, we probably shouldn't be kicking Tiger Woods in the teeth still. He made a mistake. I get it. But he'll suffer for that forever because of the kids and the wife.
Right.
But the guys who don't do it, we don't have anything on Lance Armstrong. We're kicking him in the teeth and tarnishing a reputation that may be as squeaky clean as there is and may not be. But until it is or isn't, can we please let the guy be innocent until he is guilty?
No.
You got other sports to talk about? If you do, I'll keep you on.
Yeah. Lance, you know, even after the Tour de France, I mean, you have to look at, he came here to New York, he ran the marathon. I mean,
you stay right there. I know you got more sports to talk about. We'll come back in 2 minutes. Anthony Perrani will join me. I know he's got a lot on his mind. I'm Sean Salisbury. We're coming right back. Folks, just remember the damage you can do if you're not careful. Don't try to ruin somebody that really doesn't need ruined, because you know what? We do a good job in life of ruining ourselves. We'll be right back.
Think you've seen everything there is to see in online television? Let us surprise you. Visit voiceamerica.tv today for sports, health, business, and more on demand 24/7.
You already get the general sports headlines and discussion on TV and radio. Tune in to The Blueprint with Randall Gatewood. Yeah, we'll cover all the general big name stuff too, but we go beyond the typical sports radio show to bring you the details you don't get anywhere else. We'll talk about the inspirational stories and the little known successes. If you want creativity, The Blueprint is the place to be. Tune in every Thursday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Don't miss the show that gives you exclusive access to your favorite pro athletes off the field and in our communities. Join host Nick Murphy for Heroes Radio. Hear it directly from the source as we take you behind the scenes with your favorite stars. It's sports, community, entertainment, and fun. And it's all part of Heroes Radio. Tune in Friday afternoons at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, 2 p.m. Pacific, only on the Voice America Sports Channel.
A beauty.
It's a fly ball deep right field. Back goes O'Neill. He's at
tough
the
shot.
Got it with 2.8 seconds left
to left. I don't care where they put him. This one is out of here.
From high school to the pros, we cover everything. Let your voice be heard. Voice America Sports.
Locked in to Sean Salisbury, unfiltered, on the Voice America Sports Channel. To make your voice heard, call in to 888-346-9144. That's 888-346-9144. Or send an email to SeanSals@gmail.com. That's SeanSals@gmail.com. Now, back to the show.
So, folks, the point I'm trying to make with this Lance Armstrong thing is that speculation can be an awful thing. If he's found guilty, you go ahead and get after him about his doping all you want. But why are we in such a society that you know, opinion's great. If you have your opinion on Lance Armstrong, state it. I have my opinion on it. He's innocent until somebody tells me otherwise. I have my opinion on the cancer situation and the effort he's put forth as a cancer survivor to changing people's lives, that he can do no wrong with many. And whether it's the Lance Armstrong Live Good, you know, situation with the way that's gone on and the what it's produced and how it's the impact it's made, or the Susan G. Komen, the pink and breast cancer awareness, and you know, the 60 miles in 3 days, all these things that go on. They're going to be a hero to people forever and the difference making in their life, so they can do no wrong. And I'm okay with that because life's far bigger than sports. If Lance Armstrong's guilty, then strip him of what you need to be stripped. And, you know, if you're going to vilify him for a while and say he lied about it, then do it, but then let's move forward. It still doesn't affect
what he did for cancer. So I just, we got to start, we got to get more responsible about reporting the facts and the truth, giving our opinion, instead of creating and chasing ghosts to just try and bury somebody because we may not like them, because we may like their competitor better. I just don't think it's right. I don't think it's right. And we'll find out about Lance Armstrong, I'm sure, but you know what? How many more times are we going to keep chasing this? I mean, like I say, we got guys that are in the hall, we got guys, I'm telling you right now, that are in the Baseball Hall of Fame that did use performance-enhancing drugs. They just did it before any of you guys had a clue what was going on. And we got guys that are sitting outside the Hall of Fame that may not have used performance-enhancing drugs that say they did. Case in point, Jeff Bagwell, whether Bags did or didn't, he never tested positive for any of it. Never, ever. But there is speculation by some, and I read this, that, and he made a quote about it. How dare people all of a sudden, and the voters are going to shy away a little bit from Bagwell because of speculation? Anthony, I think that those voters should not have a vote for the Hall of Fame, and we've gone over this, but should not have a vote for the Hall of Fame to speculate that if your speculation's keeping a guy out of the Hall of Fame, then I speculate that the writer is doing something illegal, so I don't think he should have a vote. How's that?
Yeah, it sounds good to me. If you're not proven, if you haven't tested positive, you know, on speculation, you know, I don't understand. You know, are you just worried that, you know, a couple of years down the road, like sort of like the Cam Newton thing with the Heisman, you know, we're worried about him not getting the first place votes because, you know, down the road he'll be ruled ineligible. Well,
right.
You know what? At the time, nothing's been put in stone, so you had to put the votes there. You know, so I think it's the same thing with the Hall of Fame. You know, unless these guys test positive, you know, Palmeiro tested positive, McGuire came out and said it, so then it's up to you. You know, you have to use your own feelings on it. But a guy like Bagwell, you know, he should be there.
And like I said, if a writer's basing it solely on speculation, does the writer deserve a vote? Because I want to speculate that the writer's cheated, that the writer plagiarized in college. That's what I want to do. That he went to do school journalism, that he plagiarized off one of his students' papers to pass a class or to get an A, and that he's now out in the public world writing, and now he's got a vote for the Hall of Fame. So can I hold that against him from when he was in journalism school? So I speculate that he was a cheater.
Right.
So I don't think he should be voting for the Hall of Fame. Is there any difference? I don't think there is. Is there?
It's the same. You know, it's the same thing. Same principle. Essentially.
No, exactly. So that being said, same principle. And it's the same principle in everything that we see out there when we're with the speculation keeping people in, out, not letting people in. Then to me, I don't understand how we can. You made a great point with Cam Newton. Hey, I don't agree with what the NCAA did.
Right.
I thought they sped up the investigation for money purposes. I just do.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't, you know, I don't buy into the fact that Cam didn't know what his dad was doing. I don't believe that.
Right.
That's my opinion. But I don't have facts that back it up. It's just my opinion, and I'm entitled to that opinion. It doesn't mean I don't like Cam Newton, and I can damn well tell you, as I've said on this show before, you think he's the only one in Auburn or Mississippi State where the only one's doing it? Give me a break. I can find an illegal activity on every college division, 119 Division I football teams in the country. I can find illegal activity at every one,
mm-hmm.
whether it's using the coach's office phone to make private calls five times in a week, you know, whatever it is.
Yeah.
You know, how many times I can't begin to tell me how many times I made a call to a, you know, back before you had cell phones in college.
Mm-hmm.
How many times I made a call to my girlfriend from the coach's office?
Using, sure you want to say that?
What?
You sure you want to say that on the air? They might come back now and
No, I don't care. And it wasn't anything like pride. You just go in there, hey coach, can I borrow your phone? Yeah, and you call your girlfriend, and say I'll see you tonight. We didn't have cell. I mean, you know, making private calls. Give me a break. Who didn't?
Right.
You know, you're an 18-year-old college kid, ain't got any money. You're going to, hey, coach, can I borrow your car? Sure. Dude, I don't have a problem. What are they going to do, take my scholarship away? I already got my degree.
Yeah.
They can speculate all they want. But it wasn't anything like you didn't think you were doing anything illegal. You don't know.
Right.
You walk in there and say, hey, it's not like you're sneaking. Hey, coach, can I go borrow the bat phone in the back? No. You're sitting there. Yeah, I'm going to borrow your phone real quick, coach. I got to make a phone call to my mom.
Right.
Boom, right there. No big deal. You know, it's not like you, oh, I'm going to make a phone call to my mom. By the way, coach, slide that $1,000 over here, too. No. It was, I got to make a call. Well, that'd be a so I can find illegal activity on every Division I football program in the country, some bigger than others.
Mm-hmm.
But with Cam Newton, as of today, when the game was played, regardless of you bummer how the NCAA went about it,
yeah,
Cam Newton during the football season, no allegations, won the Heisman Trophy. It's his right now.
Yep.
Cam Newton, and I personally, and I'm going to tell you this, Anthony.
Right.
I don't believe that the money he got to go there affects his play. I you know, you could punish him another way. You know, maybe you get to the point where you're in cahoots with the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
You really want to screw a guy over? If the NFL and college football would actually ever get on the same page, I got a great idea. Suspend the guy for the first 8 games of his NFL season without pay if he's found guilty of something in college. If he's an outgoing senior.
Instead of
punishing, you know, if Cam Newton goes and gets a house for his family, and let's say Auburn didn't know. Let's say some alumni was just working with Cam Newton on the side. Like, in the Reggie Bush case at SC, fair enough?
Let's say
nobody knew and Reggie was getting hand-to-hand cash and had bought his family a house, but the university didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
Why can't, I mean, if you've set the bylaws or whatever you do with the NFL college football, then say, you know what, so the play, because really other than taking his Heisman Trophy away, Reggie Bush, deep in his mind, still believes he won the Heisman Trophy. Am I right? He just doesn't have the hardware to show it, right?
Yeah, exactly.
He's still the Heisman Trophy winner in everybody else's mind. And so he goes to the NFL. You want to really stop the seniors from, or the underclassmen from taking money while they're there to prevent it? Or if they get caught from 5 years earlier or doing something on a recruiting thing, instead of punishing the kid who's an eighth grader that's going to come into SC 7 years, you know, 5 years later?
Right.
And do that. And everybody says, how do you punish the agent or the kid? Well, you don't let the agent have any clients.
Mm-hmm.
You take away their work privileges for a year. And suspend the first round draft pick for the first NFL games without pay. That'll pay the $300,000 back, won't it? If you really want to make an impact. So with Cam Newton, let's say it comes out in 2 months that he did do something wrong.
Yep.
Well, and at Auburn did. Well, you'll hit Auburn with their, you know, with their things because they're the ones who were giving the money if it happened.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? Then Cam Newton runs off. You strip his Heisman. And no player in the – there's not a soul in the world that doesn't believe his performance on the field wasn't Heisman worthy. He was the best player in the country Heisman-wise.
Yep. Absolutely.
And so you want to take his hardware away? Take it. Big deal. He's still going to introduce himself and will always be known as the 2010 Heisman Trophy winner. I just don't have the trophy to show for it. And by the way, I don't believe that he was able to carry money in his sock and it made him play better on Saturdays. Do you?
No.
Exactly. So now if you want to punish him, then say, oh, you got drafted the 21st pick of the first round? Guess what, young man? You don't get paid. You get your signing bonus. We're not paying you. You're going to lose your first 8-game salary. Now, wouldn't you think twice again if you were a top-notch player and taking money in college?
That would, of course, you're gonna.
You miss out on, you lose the experience, and the team that drafts you now suffers. And then now, think about how that would shift draft boards. If we found 5 guys that are going to the pros that have been taking money, and these are like 5 of the top 15, and the truth is, a lot of the guys that maybe that have done something wrong are usually the best players in college because they're the highest recruited guys a lot of times. Here's Clay Matthews wasn't a high-recruited guy and turned out being a star, but, in essence, you're recruiting the stars. So if you really want to do it, wouldn't that change draft boards where somebody says, man, I'd like to take this kid third, but we're not going to have him for 8 games? Huh.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? So if you really want to impact the university and the kid, if he's done something wrong, punish him at the next level. Take money and games out of his pocket. But you know what? College and NFL will never be on the same page. And the truth is they're both professional organizations. College football is not an amateur sport. You and I both know it.
No. It's a great idea. You know, you'd think, you know, it's almost like, you know, the NCAA should be like a farm system. You know, it essentially is
it
like
is.
The NFL.
Exactly,
but,
right.
You'll never see that sort of camaraderie or, you know, thinking on the same page like that. There's too much money involved.
And then not only that, the NFL player will file and say it's unconstitutional. You can't prevent me from earning a living. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm not going to jail. I mean, they would fight it in court, and it'd be stuck in court. The problem, but it sounds good that instead of punishing SC, punish SC.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of punishing the kid who came in as a freshman is going to be on probation for 2 years. That he was at a high school senior at, you know, El Capitan High School.
Right.
We're going to punish him when he did nothing wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of doing that, you know, if you want to do it, punish that. How else is there to punish the pro than to put a law or maybe write in something that says, you know what? You know what? Really, Reggie should have had to pay every penny back.
Yeah. Something.
Yeah, if $330 or $350, whatever, pay every penny back. But the NFL player gets to get his glory and then get off scot-free, whether it's Reggie or anybody else. But it goes back to it. Cam Newton at the time was innocent, according to the NCAA. And if that's the case, we have no right to strip him of his Heisman Trophy as of right now. We just don't. And I don't believe that Auburn was
was what's clear of this. But you know what? I sure as heck wouldn't go digging and try to and state fact the facts. It's my opinion. Mm-hmm. But you know what? As we stand right now, they're the national champions, and they got the Heisman Trophy winner, who's going to be a first round draft pick. It's somewhere in the draft, mm-hmm. and that's the facts.
Yeah, no, it's definitely. We could talk about this. I mean, whether it's steroids or allegations, this could go on forever.
And it goes on in normal life. To just the appearance that people speculate on something, and our country is not innocent until proven guilty. We don't do that anymore. You're guilty with all the media coverage. You're guilty until you prove to me you're innocent, even though you may never have put a steroid in your body in your life. But I think you may have just because you played in that era, so right. We're going to screw you. And I don't think it's right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then... I want to touch the Carmelo thing really, really quick.
Please, no problem. You got time. Go ahead.
Yeah. Basically, I think Carmelo, this whole thing, it's a formality. He's going to wind up here in New York. I mean, it's just whether it's as a free agent at the end of the year or whether they actually do work out a deal before the deadline, he's coming here. You know, this whole thing, you know, they're talking about, you know, he's not going to New Jersey. He's not going anywhere else. They're saying now, I was reading this morning, that he, you know, they may deal him even if he doesn't sign the extension somewhere because the team may take him as a rental for half the year. You know, but eventually he's going to wind up here. You know, it's just the formality, I think, the entire thing.
I actually think that Carmelo right now should be doing somersaults that New Jersey said they're backing out of the deal.
Maybe that's why he dropped 36 last night.
Yeah, thinking, you know what? Man, if New Jersey's out, that means there's that other New York team. Or when I say other New York team, basically New Jersey, I mean when they move to Brooklyn, you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
That other team out there that wants me. Now that's okay. Now I don't have to deal with all the speculation of this. So in essence, Carmelo doesn't lose in the deal. He's got a three-way win. He's going to get an extension.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to pay him enormous money. He's going to either stay in Denver, which can't be a big loss, or he's going to end up with the New York Knicks, which can't be a big loss. And if he goes there as a rental, he gets to be a free agent. I mean, come on. Where's the loss for him? He wants to play in New York, and now that New Jersey's out of it, he can wipe the sweat off his brow and say,
Yeah.
Now, I like this, because if New York wants to offer him extension, you know he'll sign that in 2 seconds flat.
Yeah. It's like one of those baseball player options, you know, where if you suck, you can just pick up your option for whatever amount of $1 million it is, and if you're good, you just get out of it. It's one of those things.
The greatest thing that happened for Carmelo was New Jersey saying, we're going to back out of the deal. He's like, okay, this is cool. Now I don't have to deal with that. And I agree with you. While New Jersey backed out, anybody actually thinks that this deal is completely dead?
Mm-hmm.
They're out of their mind. There's no way Denver, in my mind, can't move him. Do you agree?
No, they have to get
something. You've got to get something for the guy.
Yeah.
You have to.
That's why I think the Knicks have been quiet with it the entire time, but I think eventually they're going to jump in with a deal, and they're going to have to take it, whether it's for Chandler and, you know, a couple of expiring contracts.
Yep.
You know, they'll eventually do it just because they have to get something back.
Even though Omari complains about, you know, and he's having an unbelievable offensive year and playing better defense the rest, I know he complains and, you know, he and Mike get after it defensively, and they battle and stuff, and Carmelo's out. I mean, not Carmelo, but Amari's outspoken. Is he the only untouchable on the Knicks? Is he the only untouchable? Or is there one or two more untouchables, or is this the only one?
You know what? I think he's the only one. I mean, Felton's not going anywhere, let's be honest. But I think they really should, and I've seen it with Felton over the past, like, week or two. You know, he's taken a beating over the past couple of, you know, first couple of months, driving to the basket, you know, playing a lot of minutes. They need to get another point guard in here who's competent enough to run it, you know. But I think anybody else on the team, whether it's and I like Gallinari, you know, and Chandler, but I don't think they're ever going to be superstars. They're going to be nice role players, averaging about 15 a game. But I think everyone on that team can be dealt.
Put it this way. There's no sacred cows when it comes to getting Carmelo Anthony other than Amari Stoudemire. Am I right?
No. It's. I believe, like, you know, in any sport, when you can acquire a superstar, that's why I hate, like, you know, even in baseball, you don't want to give up your prospects for a superstar. But I always look at the philosophy of, are any of these prospects or young guys going to be as good as the superstar we're acquiring? And I always say no. It probably won't happen. So I'm always quick to pull the trigger to get a superstar.
Hey, if I got a superstar in Double A and let's say a 28-year-old superstar in Major League Baseball. And I'm with you. See, to me, people say, well, you know what, they're going to hurt our farm system. Well, I'm not worried about 5 years from now.
Oh, yeah.
When the kid may be a star.
Mm-hmm.
I'm worried about, you know, we could go with the Todd Van Poppel. Remember when Todd Van Poppel came out of the first round? And Todd,
yes,
injuries never panned out. Then you got a David Price who's a first pick, and he's your star in the rotation, all-star. So sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't.
Yeah.
To me, if I got a 28-year-old proven superstar,
mm-hmm.
And I can get, as opposed to, well, I don't want to trade. I'll trade a prospect away because, you know what? No offense, but there's always another prospect.
if you're running a great organization, you know how to draft and get good prospects. But to me, I've never been a guy. If I can find a guy, I'm a help me now guy, because as a baseball manager or a football coach, there ain't no, 3 years from now, you may not have a job.
Right.
So to me, forget, screw the prospect thing. Yeah, he's great. I'm not going to give away seven AAA superstar prospects for one star, but I can tell you this. If I got to give away one of my top prospects for a proven all-star, a five-year all-star that's in his late 20s or hit 30 and is in the prime of his career, you
right.
you can have the prospect. I'll take the proven star, because I'm not so sure a guy who's a star in AA is going to come up and be a star in Major League Baseball. I don't know.
Right.
I don't know. But I'll take the proven commodity any day of the week, and I'm with you 100%. You give me a, in basketball, it's different, because there's, if you're a rookie, these guys are, you know, the John Walls of the world are stars right now. But
right.
in baseball or, in, you know, like I said, I'll take the guy. You can have your first round draft pick in football. If I got a quarterback who's 30 and playing like a first rounder and got me a Super Bowl ring, I'm not willing to trade him away.
No, yeah, exactly.
Great point by you. So you still think, and you heard it right here, Anthony, you still think on January 20th that in the next month Carmelo will be a New York Knick?
Well, like I said, even if it's not, well, if not June 20th, I mean, not January 20th, you know, by January or whatever, by the end of this month, but if by July 1st, he will be a Knick, you know, within 6 months.
I love it.
Whether he signs here or whether he's traded here, he will be here.
Can you imagine? You think that place is going crazy now? Put him in the mix?
Yeah.
We'll go back to Willis Reed, Walt Frazier days and then some, aren't we?
It's going
to
be awesome.
I
went last Friday. I mean, I should have kept my boycott for another year because they sucked last Friday
right.
for Sacramento.
And I'm not saying they're as good as the Willis Reed team, but as far as the publicity and the talk,
oh yeah,
at no time will basketball talk be higher. And even when Patrick Ewing came in, it'd be kind of like that, wouldn't it?
Oh, absolutely. And, Ewing was here, but Ewing really didn't have that second guy with him.
No, you know? That's what I mean. If Pat would have had a guy like Carmelo, oh, it would have went through the roof, but Pat never did.
Right, yeah.
That being said, this could be monumental for New York, and it's the best thing Carmelo heard. Is it New Jersey wants no part of it. Anthony, thanks, bud. Come on tomorrow. We'll make our picks for the weekend.
All right, Sean. Have a good
one. Have a great one. Anthony Perrano joining me here on Voice America Sports. Got another hour to go. We are unfiltered. We'll be right back.
Get the news on our shows and other happenings by following us on Twitter. Find us at VoiceAmericaTRN or Twitter.com/VoiceAmericaTRN.
Spin It with Chuck Foreman has a spin on so much that's going on. It will be hard to fit it all into the promo. We'll talk about the weekend games, what to look forward to, hot topics in the news. Spin It Old School, which gives a back-in-the-day approach from Chuck. A no-spin zone where Chuck gives an unbiased opinion and lets you do the same. Chuck will be taking us around town and around the world with news, happenings, and more. It's football, news, and happenings. Tune in for Spin It with Chuck Foreman, Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, on the Voice America Sports Channel.
We're making it easier to listen to the Voice America Talk Radio Network wherever you go. In addition to listening live, you can check out information about your favorite talk show hosts, discover new talk show personalities, add shows to your list of favorites, and listen to all our show archives on demand. All from your iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android. Download it from the Apple App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market, and get ready to tune in. The Voice America mobile app, powered by Aircast.
Get the inside scoop on the Georgia Bulldogs. Tune in to Keelan Johnson on College Football Game Day, on the radio, and every day on KeelanJohnson.com. On Keelan's Keeping It Real Radio, you can talk to Keelan and his former teammates about the Bulldogs, college football, and all things sports. Keelan's the go-to analyst for Bulldog football on pre- and post-game television on KeelanJohnson.com. And now, every week on the Voice America Sports Channel. Tune in every college game day for Keelan Johnson, Keeping It Real Radio. Saturdays at 11 a.m. Eastern and 8 a.m. Pacific.
You already get the general sports headlines and discussion on TV and radio. Tune in to The Blueprint with Randall Gatewood. Yeah, we'll cover all the general big name stuff too, but we go beyond the typical sports radio show to bring you the details you don't get anywhere else. We'll talk about the inspirational stories and the little known successes. If you want creativity, The Blueprint is the place to be. Tune in every Thursday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
locked in to Sean Salisbury Unfiltered on the Voice America Sports Channel. To make your voice heard, call in to 888-346-9144. That's 888-346-9144. Or send an email to SeanSalz@gmail.com. That's SeanSalz@gmail.com. Now, back to the show.
Special thanks to my folks at HBO on my New York visit. Treated me like gold, thank you. And I appreciate it. Awesome, class company, class group. And I'm so grateful that you guys did what you did for me. So thank you, HBO. Appreciate you. And my New York City visit was awesome. So thank you very much. Voice America Sports, Sean Salisbury. I'm Unfiltered. And I know you are too. Grateful to Anthony for coming on. And my cell phone broke last night, and I had to get it fixed. And then they come up with the new style, and I still don't know how to figure some of this stuff out. But then again, folks, I'm not exactly Mr. Technology. That's your guys' style. You guys are all better than me at that and all these things. I don't even know how to reset my Twitter. I don't even know how to do any of this stuff. But I'm up and running, and everything's good to go. So here I am. But so I'm trying to figure out, so if you don't get a Twitter from me for a couple days out there at Sean Unfiltered on Twitter, then I understand. But I'm going to try and go get an idea how to find this and do it, because it's somewhere and I don't know how to get to it. But we're here talking sports, and let's shift to the NFL now. Obviously, we've hit, and you know, one of the amazing things, and I found this interesting in the USA Today this morning, is that it used to be NFL would pony up for colleges. Now there's a trend going on in the NFL where college coaches, NFL coaches are leaving to go back to college or to go to college for the first time for big amounts of money. Assistant coaches, I'm talking about. Not NFL head coaches. I'm talking about assistant coaches. You can go through this list now. Will Muschamp went out and got Charlie Weiss from Kansas City after 1 year, and Dan Quinn as a Seattle Seahawks defensive line coach. He got him out of Seattle. Colorado Athletics Director Mike Bond, he took Eric Bieniemy, and he called it a historical high in terms of length and compensation for a Colorado football assistant. Bieniemy will be the EB will be the offensive coordinator in Colorado. And Michigan's AD David Brandon said he's reasonably sure that Greg Madison's deal, who left the defensive coordinator of the Baltimore Ravens to go to the University of Michigan, will surpass any we've done in past for a football assistant. And if you remember last year, Lane Kiffin's dad, Monty, left Tennessee with him, who was formerly at Tampa, Tampa Bay Bucks. He left for $1.2 million. Ed Orgeron, who's been college and pro, Ed left for $650,000 to go to SC. And Georgia, remember they took Dallas Cowboys assistant coach Todd Grantham, and paid Todd $750,000 to leave there to go be an assistant at Georgia. So there's a new trend going on in the NFL that they're leaving to go to college as assistant coaches instead of, a lot of times when you leave from the NFL, you go to college to be the head coach. Or you leave from the NFL as, let's say you're the defensive back coach for an NFL team, and then a college comes in and says, we'll make you the defensive coordinator head coach, you leave. But you rarely see a guy leave as an offensive coordinator in the pros to go be the offensive coordinator in college. You don't see that. And you're talking about an offensive and defensive coordinator for playoff teams. Charlie Weiss, offensive coordinator, makes a lateral move to go to Florida to be offensive coordinator for college team. And here's Greg Madison, whose team's one game away from the AFC championship game, goes to Michigan for the same job. It's really strange, but it's a trend, and it's happening, and it's cool. Good for these coaches to go get paid. And you know what? No offense, NFL fans, the atmosphere in college blows away the NFL. The only problem with college is if you piss wrong, it could be an NCAA violation. And some of these guys are going to have trouble finding that out. I mean, Charlie's been in the college game, but if you're Greg Madison and it's been a while since you've been in that game, you go back and you have to say, well, I've been dealing with NFL guys coming and going. You have to be really careful because you, like I said, you piss wrong in the latrine and all of a sudden the NC2A is coming down on you for a violation. So you've got to be, you're used to this NFL pro style money flowing to that. You've got to be careful because it's like, I can't break that rule. So you got to not only coach on the field, but you've got to be very, very cognizant of what's going around you with all these crazy-ass rules the NFL, I mean, college football places on these coaches, and it's nuts. It's nuts. There's a rule for a rule. It's like when you meet to meet to set up a meeting, NFL, like college football has got a rule to discuss a rule so you don't break a rule that a rule's been set. But there is absolutely no question in my mind the better game when it comes to atmosphere and everything, is college football. There's no question about it. Let's get out to Arizona. D-Man, before we start in on some comparisons, we talked about the running game yesterday in the NFL, these four teams. We'll talk defenses and a couple other situations in our final hour. But let's get out to D-Man in Arizona. What's up, bud? How are you?
You, my man. Your show is awesome as usual.
Thanks,
as
bud.
Usual. Listen, I've always called in and I've always ragged on Big Ben, and you know that. I've been very hard on him. I shouldn't say ragged on him. Been very hard on him.
Yeah, on Roethlisberger.
Say that again?
I said you've been hard on Big Ben Roethlisberger. I get it. Yep.
Yeah, but he had a hell of a game last week. Great game last week. I want to make sure I put that karma out there. Unlike LeBron, I don't want to call karma out, and then all of a sudden LeBron got hurt. Isn't that amazing how that happened?
Yeah, no question about it, my man. No question about it. Are you, before you finish your thought, let me ask you this. Is Roethlisberger a top five quarterback in this league?
I think that I'm telling you, I really. If you're telling me I have my choice between Aaron Rodgers or Big Ben, even though Aaron Rodgers has not won those titles, I don't think Aaron Rodgers has been on the types of teams that Big Ben's been on.
No doubt.
I'm still taking Aaron Rodgers. I'm telling you, that kid is going to be unbelievable. He's unbelievable right now.
Oh, yeah.
When it's over said and done, I think he's going to have some rings.
Oh, no, I do too, and an MVP or two trophy.
Yeah.
If you're asking me if Aaron Rodgers was in Pittsburgh, would Pittsburgh be playing in the AFC Championship game today? Yeah, there's absolutely no question in my mind. And they'd be the overwhelming favorite, in my opinion, if Rodgers was the quarterback. Yeah, and now, see, Big Ben deserves a lot of love. Let me go down a list of guys, just in your opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Manning or Brady, who's a better player? Who would you want to use as your quarterback?
I would definitely take Manning.
Okay, I didn't mean Manning. I screwed up. Roethlisberger, Brady?
Taking Brady.
Roethlisberger, Manning.
I'm going to take Manning.
Roethlisberger, Drew Brees.
I'm going to take Drew Brees.
Okay. Roethlisberger, Aaron Rodgers.
I'm going to take Aaron Rodgers.
Okay. Roethlisberger, Phillip Rivers.
Now, I think those two are the same, but I like the fighting spirit of Rivers, but I would take Big Ben.
Okay, so you're telling me, and then Roethlisberger over Matty Ice, Matt Ryan.
Oh, yeah,
okay, so basically, we know who the first six, Roethlisberger and Mike Vick.
Oh, I'm going to take Mike Vick on that. I would take Mike Vick, just because of where Mike Vick came from and what he offers up.
Okay, So basically, here's what you're doing now. So you got Roethlisberger over Rivers. How about Rivers and Vick? Who do you take?
Say that again. Who and Vick?
Philip Rivers or Michael Vick? Who do you take?
I'm taking Vick.
Okay, so here's how you've said it, and I think that a lot of people will agree with you. You may get a few disagreeing. You'd say one. You said basically in no particular order in the top four, but your top four for sure are Brady, Manning, Brees, and Rodgers. Correct?
Right.
And then you go, I believe you go Vick, Roethlisberger, Rivers for the next
year.
Is that right?
That's how I would go.
Okay, so the bottom line is we all agree that the top six quarterbacks in this league, top seven quarterbacks in this league, should I say, are the same group, just you jumble a few different areas. I mean, you know, I may take Rivers over Roethlisberger, or I may take Rivers over, you know, however you shake it, we know that it Brady, Manning, Brees, Rivers, Rodgers, Roethlisberger, Vick, we know who the first seven guys are for the most part, with Matt Ryan probably a close eighth. Am I right in that category? There's no question who the first half dozen quarterbacks are.
Okay, so now we're going, Ben's going for a third Super Bowl in, what, 6 years?
Mm-hmm.
If he wins this, D-Man, and then you can get on with your point, but I think you make a great point because I know you watch these quarterbacks closely. If he gets his third in 6 years, where do we start to put this guy? So, I mean, we think about Brady, who's got three in his young career, but if this Roethlisberger now gets a third one, where do we put him? Now, had he not had trouble off the field, wouldn't we start to talk, wouldn't people start to say, I mean, even people, gee, I'm trying to separate the two, as I've told people to do, off the field and on the field. This guy, three Super Bowls in basically wins a Super Bowl every other year.
Yeah.
Where do we got to start? What do we do?
Yeah. Here's what I would say. This is what I would say. The first, I mean, he was a starting quarterback. I understand that and give him all the respect. But the first Super Bowl, was it really the defense or was it really him? You should have said, I mean, the bad thing about this is that Pittsburgh's defense has done a lot over the last 6 years. I've dominated the league, really, in the last 6 years. The thing that scares me about this is that what was Pittsburgh Steelers' record before Big Ben was eligible to play this year?
3-1, so, I believe.
I don't know if you can still put him in that situation where you're talking about Peyton Manning. You start talking about the great ones. I don't know. Brady? No, he's not Brady.
Okay, that's why I broached the subject. I think a lot of people would agree with you. Yet here's the guy. So what you're saying, for the most part, is that Ben, while he's a playmaker and comes up big and knows how to win, that he's more a product of the fact that he just happens to be playing with an unbelievable organization who is a great defense and can do other things that they can win in spite of Ben Roethlisberger instead of because of him, is your philosophy.
Right.
Fair
right.
enough. And, now, I think, and I think people, I, first of all, I think that people, I don't think Ben gets the respect as a winner that he deserves, but I do understand on the other side what you're saying, that would Ben Roethlisberger have these Super Bowls if he was in Green Bay?
Yeah, that's the question.
Yeah, and I get it. And I don't think that there's a few things we can't refute, regardless of where we rank him in our top six or so. We can't refute that the guy knows how to win, because he sure as hell does. Somehow, some way, the guy, he finds a way to win. That regardless of statistics or anyway, the guy does know how to win, and I give him that. But we also can't refute that of all the quarterbacks in recent memory that I can remember, that Ben, while he's made some huge plays in Super Bowls, that there could be the argument made that he's a product that you could take any number of seven or eight quarterbacks in the league and stick them in Pittsburgh and you may have still a Super Bowl. There's people that will make that argument. And then you reverse it and say, if Ben was in New Orleans, would the Saints have won the Super Bowl last year? People will ask that question. And I think, so what's the answer? Who knows? Bottom line is he happens to be a Pittsburgh Steeler and he's going after his third. And that has to be, at least we have to recognize it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but here's the thing with him that blows me away. I think that they're trying to, and I say they, the offensive coordinator, I think they try to put him in that situation like he's a Manning, a Brady, to let him throw the ball all over the field. But you see what happens to Pittsburgh as a team when he gets in a situation where he's throwing the ball over the field. Pittsburgh doesn't win like that. Now, is the guy a winner? Yeah, the guy is a winner. Is he capable of making big plays? Oh, yeah, definitely is. Is he a big-time quarterback in this league? Yes, he is. But he's not going to be your Peyton Manning. He's never going to be your Tom Brady. He's never going to be a Joe Montana. The guy's just going to find a way to win ball games. But he's also with a great defensive organization. That defense has been so good for how long?
Oh, well, I'll tell you how long. They've been so good for as long as they've been so good. Well, I can't remember a time. Now, they've had seasons where their stats aren't as good, but you know what? When you're going back in the all-time lore of NFL, and just give me the last 25 years,
mm-hmm.
the Pittsburgh Steelers, you can't get by number five without always mentioning the Pittsburgh Steelers. When I played, I mean, think of it. They did Kevin Green and Rod Woodson Chad Brown, and I mean, we go Greg Lloyd. I mean, I can go mm-hmm. on and on with these players. I said, great defense then. Great defense. I mean, every year you play it. And every year since, I mean, I was playing, 15 years ago, their defenses were sensational and scary then.
and it hasn't changed. So of all the teams in the last 20, 25 years, you go up and down to 30, you know, all these teams in the NFL. I'm not so sure that if you said, okay, give me the most consistent defense over the last 25 years, I'm not sure that you can't point to the Pittsburgh Steelers and say them.
Yeah. I mean, this is a team that had Bobby Brister. And, you know, damn near makes it to the Super Bowl with Bobby Brister. Do we think Cordell Stewart's a great quarterback?
No, it's exactly right. That's what I'm saying. I mean, the Ravens in recent, you know, since 2000 and all those teams, right, in the last, the Ravens the last, you know, 10, 12 years. But I'm talking about from the time that you can go back to the 70s with the White. I mean, over the last 70s, 80s, 90s, I mean, you're talking about four decades.
Mm-hmm.
There has not been a team, a franchise, should I say, an organization that has had, as a matter of fact, I don't even think it's close. You can give me the 49ers and their Super Bowl runs, but that was a certain runs. And the Cowboys of the 90s and their offense and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm talking about Super Bowl teams and the consistency of teams over the, and any organization in NFL over the last four decades. There's no way that anybody, it would be Pittsburgh then everybody else. I'm talking about consistency year out. Players come, players go, and they're still there over the last four decades. And folks will say, what about the Patriots? No, the Patriots weren't a great defensive team for a long time until Belichick got there. So this is the Pittsburgh, and it's not close. Matter of fact, it's Pittsburgh and everybody else falls in. So you can make the argument that the best defense over the last, you know, the last four decades, not make the argument, I don't think it's close. Overall, just players and what they've had to overcome as far as replacing players, putting other players in, that's the best defensive organization in sports in NFL in the 40 years that I've been involved in sports.
Yeah, and so does Big Ben take a hit for that? I mean, as a Pittsburgh Steelers fan, I'm sitting there saying, well, wow, you know, don't get me wrong, I think Big Ben's a great talent.
So do I.
You don't put him in the same category as your Peyton Manning and your Brady.
No, you can't yet. You can't yet. And this is a guy that going to Pittsburgh, not being a top five pick and happened to be a guy that was drafted after number 10, was the greatest blessing in Ben Roethlisberger's life.
Mm-hmm.
It really was, because he got to go to a franchise that's damn good, but he didn't have to go to a team that was 2-14. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
He was able to go
exactly.
to an organization where he just hit the ground running. And now he's literally, whether he gets it or not, but a stare in the face in three soup, where he's a guy that just to win one, lose one. I mean, here's a guy who is on pace to, I mean, the only other active quarterback that's going to have that has that kind of love when it comes to Super Bowls is Tom Brady. It's amazing.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Right. Well, man, good show. I'll continue to listen. Make it happen, my man.
Hey, anything, do you call in tomorrow with your predictions? Just your gut feeling right now. Your gut feeling. Can the Jets win this football game? Just on a Thursday, your gut feeling.
Okay, here's my problem. Look at the history of the Pittsburgh Steelers. The Steelers have a problem with winning championship games at home. That's my problem. If you look at it, they let New England walk in there and beat them down twice, and the Jets are, I think, are a better defensive team than the New England Patriots were at that time. It's going to be scary. I'm going to take the Pittsburgh Steelers just because I love them, but my gut feeling says the Jets are going to upset them.
Ooh, all right. It's out there. We'll talk to you tomorrow, D-Man. Thanks. Great insight
okay,
on your
okay,
feelings on Roethlisberger and what goes on, buddy. Great stuff. See, there's so many different ways to look at Ben Roethlisberger. There really is. How do you look at him? Staring at his third Super Bowl ring, which will be as many as, guess what? The guy who resides in Foxborough, if he's able to pull this one off. Tom missed out on a fourth, obviously, by losing to the Giants. But you know what? You can slice it however we want, and D-Man makes a great point. The thing about it is, though, he's still the quarterback. He's still got to make plays regardless of how good your defense or your running game is. Roethlisberger's a playmaker, folks. The stats don't always bear it out, but if the game's close in the end, I don't know how you pick against him in this game, but D-Man's got the gut on the Jets. I kind of root for Rex Ryan. But, man, is it hard to pick against the Pittsburgh Steelers. And you'd think it being at home would be an advantage. It sure is for the kicker at home, I guess, not the road kicker. Even the home kicker struggles. Kickers don't survive well in Heinz Field. Does it come down to a field goal game? Interesting. We'll talk defenses. The four teams available in the playoffs are left. We'll see whose defenses are best right now. And maybe we'll even get to wide receivers if we can in the next half hour. This is Voice America Sports.
Now you don't have to stay linked to your desktop or laptop. Take Voice America on the go and listen anywhere. Get our mobile app for iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android at the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
Football and so much more is the focus of Planet Gridiron with Damian Anderson. Join the former Arizona Cardinals running back for a show that mixes, well, a little bit of everything. Damian brings to the program life experiences playing football, and we'll talk about his variety of successes both on and off the field. The goal is to provide you with a fun perspective on life, family, success, and of course, football. Tune in to Planet Gridiron with Damian Anderson, Fridays at noon Pacific time, 3 p.m. Eastern time, on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Do you feel the need for speed? Whatever your addiction, NASCAR, IndyCar, NHRA, Formula One, or even lawnmower racing, Pit Pass USA has got you covered. Larry Henry here, host of Pit Pass USA. I put my 30-plus years of being a motorsports broadcaster to work to bring you not only the best guests, but also the most interesting guests in racing. Pit Pass USA with Larry Henry, your front row seat to the world of racing. Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Sports Channel. Be there or get a DNF.
Super Bowl champ Lionel Dalton is taking to the internet airwaves with his own brand of sports talk. You'll go inside the mind of the players and find out if blacklisting really happens, what their thoughts are on training camps, where the former NFL players are now, and why being drafted by the wrong NFL team can kill a promising player's career. Lionel will also cover what's up with the Baltimore Ravens. Tune in to Sports Talk with Lionel Dalton live every Tuesday at 3 p.m. Eastern, 12 noon Pacific on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Do you feel the need for speed? Whatever your addiction, NASCAR, IndyCar, NHRA, Formula One, or even lawnmower racing, Pit Pass USA has got you covered.
The opening kickoff is a beauty.
It's a fly ball deep right field. Back goes O'Neill. He's at
tough
the
shot.
Got it with 2.8 seconds left
to left. I don't care where they put him. This one is out of here.
From high school to the pros, we cover everything.
Cover everything. Let your voice be heard. Voice America Sports.
Locked in to Sean Salisbury, unfiltered, on the Voice America Sports Channel. To make your voice heard, call in to 888-346-9144. That's 888-346-9144. Or send an email to SeanSals@gmail.com. That's SeanSals@gmail.com. Now, back to the show.
Love this. Got a half hour left. We'll get to the defenses. And how about the wide receiver tight end core and hit quarterbacks tomorrow? I love this. AC, my man. And we got our, my callers and emailers and the people who listen to the show are so great. And they dig deep with opinions, and I love it. And this is a good long, this is a good read, but I want you guys to listen to this, and I want you to hear it on a couple different subjects. And AC always has well thought out, as always does Anthony or Tim Anslinger who calls in, or James McDonough or my man G-Man, or excuse me, G-Man, D-Man out in Arizona. Got some great ones. Ultimately, this is from AC, ultimately I do not understand why people even care if people are using steroids, HGH, or other drugs that enhance performance. We allow enhanced performance in other walks of life. Pilots get laser surgery with their eyes. Degenerate. Male sexual performance declines, and men will take Viagra. As a country, we have a population that inundates itself with drugs to improve their quality of life. Hence what I said, the biggest problem in life, drugs-wise, and in my, I'll just tell you, in my walk of life with sports or you know, in sports bra, whatever, I'm just telling you, that I've seen, it's prescription drugs and alcohol. So I'm with you, and we do, and the truth is, the steroid, the long ball actually saved baseball. So people can say what they want, whether they like it or not. And if I'm guessing, you know, it's the hypocrites and the self-righteous who do it. I don't condone breaking laws, but if you know what, it saved baseball. So people can tell me, those people were going to, batting practice was as big, batting practice was getting more attention from McGuire than many stadiums were getting for their own team when that was going on. So they can tell me what they want. I'm not so sure I don't agree with you on that one, AC. I'm with you.
It is not Lance Armstrong that bothers me. What bothers me is the hypocrisy of the people in their view of Lance Armstrong in comparison to a Bonds or a Clemens. The treatment has more to do with whether the individual is liked or not liked. There are other things in the sports that are more important than enhancing drugs. Alcohol is one of the biggest problems surrounding sports and is the sacred cow that is not touched. Yep, AC and I agree. Alcohol is without question not even close to the biggest problem. Not even close. Plus, alcohol endangers others' lives. Alcohol, performance-enhancing 500-foot home run, unless you're the third baseman, I guess your life's endangered if you got to take a line drive. I guarantee you, you know, and I'll get to this point in a second, but you endanger your own life. If you want to take steroids, you endanger your own life. You drunk drive and you endanger other people's lives. Alcohol is the biggest problem. And there is no question about it. We pick and choose in this country. We like Lance Armstrong. We don't vilify him. You don't like Clemens because, you know, of what he's, some of the things that he's done, you kill him. And you don't like, the media can't stand Barry Bonds because he wasn't real good with them. And so guess what? We kill Barry Bonds, and we do. We do. And as Eric Dickerson said, and I hate to, you know, you race doesn't come into it, if Ben Roethlisberger would have been black, like Michael Vick was and what Michael Vick went through, if Roethlisberger would have been black, then he wouldn't have got his suspension lessened. I don't care what any. And Eric Dickerson said he'd have been suspended for more, maybe a full year, Sean. And I'm just telling, I'm talking about the speculation. What didn't go to jail, all that stuff, I get it. But had Ben Roethlisberger been African-American, I don't believe, and Eric Dickerson said it, and I can't agree more, I'm not so sure that Ben Roethlisberger would have got his suspension reduced, what was it, from 6 games to 4, and I believe that. And we pick and choose in this country who we like in order to build. If we like them, hell, look at Charlie Sheen. Charlie gets beat up and does it, but we've created a show for Charlie Sheen where he makes, what, signed a two-year, what, $98 million contract. 2.5 Men is basically his name's Charlie. They have taken Charlie's real life and put it on a sitcom. It's the number one sitcom on TV. It doesn't matter what he does off the, all it does is enhance it because more people tune in to watch. But I think the show's hilarious, and I kind of like Charlie Sheen. Charlie's a bit wacko, I'm quite sure, with some of the things he does. I'm not judging him. I'm not throwing stones. I guess it serves him right, meaning that's what Charlie likes to do. But you know what? If Charlie was somebody that people didn't like or didn't like his sitcom, we'd be killing him. And he's right about that. Whether and you know, Lance shouldn't be vilified because he hasn't been found guilty. But we sure as heck take other people that haven't been found guilty and because they've been linked to something and beat them up worse because we don't like them as much. That is a great point. And here's another one. Movie stars enhance their breasts, lips, and other body parts, which I don't have a problem with, the breast enhancement. More power to them if they, you know, if they got them, go for it. If they got real ones, that's great too. But they do. Lips, other body parts, no. There's people that even enhance their ass, folks. And I'm saying this, not AC, but this part. Movie stars enhance their breasts, lips, and other body parts to enhance their appearance for movies. Hell, in Hollywood, men take as much HGH and other drugs to get lean and buffed for their appearance, no doubt. And if any of you don't think in some of these high-profile movies where they're, or these action movies, that these guys haven't gone into the gym and taken steroids to trim down and trained with a trainer and then got the cut-up drug, whether, you know, to get themselves ready for a movie role, you're out of your mind. The human body can't transform in 3 months to be that cut up when you're 40 pounds overweight and then you have to get into a movie role that makes you 20 pounds lighter. You just can't do it. And I don't care what any nutritionist says. You can eat right all you want. But you know what? There's no doubt they do it to get themselves ready for a movie role so they can get themselves right. But it's okay in their business. We actually encourage it. We encourage rock stars to bang 50 women, but if we got a guy that's not supposed to, oh, he's the bad guy. As I stated before, I do not condone drug enhancement, but who cares? I couldn't agree more. I don't condone it. I don't take it, but we got bigger fish to fry than HGH, trust me. I think the coaches are smart to get away from the grind of the NFL and go to college. The atmosphere is more conducive for teaching and family life. There's no doubt those good college towns. I would love to coach college football in 2 seconds flat. I'd love to. Roethlisberger is a top quarterback, and I like him better than Brady. Manning, because he handles adversity much better than the aforementioned QBs. I would take Big Ben over all the QBs in the NFL. He lacks the choke factor that other QBs have shown. I know that I am in the minority, but it's my opinion. And an addendum, with respect to the argument of Big Ben being a part of the system, I think that can be said and argued that Brady's a product of the system as well. This is AC still speaking.
The Patriots have not won since their defense declined. Not won a Super Bowl is what he's saying. And Matt Castle won plenty of games in the system and is a millionaire as a result of their system. Let's not forget that the Steelers did not win until Big Ben arrived. Winning meaning that there was a lot of years in between Super Bowls. Great points by AC. And I'm sure he is in the minority of he'd take Ben over all the quarterbacks in the league. But I will tell you this, where he shouldn't be in the minority is that this dude has, Ben Roethlisberger, has completely, he's got less choke factor, and he's right, than any quarterback in the league. It's all, and Ben could be playing shitty for 3.5 quarters and then somehow finds a way to get it done. When it comes to that, when you line up all the quarterbacks in the league as far as choke factor, I think Roethlisberger probably is the, when you're looking for the poster child of a guy who knows how to win under pressure, he's got to be, he's further up than just the top five. Statistics, no. All that, no. You'll take other guys. Doesn't look pretty doing it. Big, kind of jowly in the jaws. That beard doesn't look, I mean, just, you know, but he wins. And in the case, now there's people that aren't going to take him above those guys. I get it, but AC makes, as does D-Man. That's why I love my callers and emailers, because they bring out stuff that make you think. There's a lot of choke factor that goes on in the NFL, and Big Ben isn't one of them. He's not one of them. He may have made some stupid decisions off the field that caused him a lot of heartache, but when it comes to on the field, he doesn't make many bad decisions, folks. He wins. He wins. And there's something to be said for that, because in truth, it's so funny, and we judge it. Everybody, there are people that throw Dan Marino in the top five quarterbacks of all time, top three, because Dan was the best pure passer we've ever had in this league, and there's no question about it. And they want the, and here's the thing, if Dan would have won Super Bowls like Terry Bradshaw, four of them, but Terry didn't have the numbers of the big armed, I mean, they ran the football, played defense, protected the ball, Terry mixed in some throws, didn't have those numbers. But we never mentioned Terry Bradshaw in the top 10 quarterbacks of all time. Because they say, oh, the team was good, all those Hall of Famers. Terry didn't put up the numbers. Yet, okay, what do you want? You want the numbers or do you want the Super Bowl rings? The problem is people want both. And it's hard to get both. It's hard to get both. I'm sure Dan thought he was going to go to five more Super Bowls. He went to one and lost it, and that was it. So what do you want, folks? Do you want the 5,000 passing yards? Or do you want Super Bowl rings? I think you want the Super Bowl rings, but when it comes down to judging all-time quarterbacks, we want to judge them on their numbers as opposed to their Super Bowl rings. And then when it's not your guy, you'll say, well, he doesn't have any Super Bowl rings. But if you put that on people that are Miami Dolphins, Dan Marino fans, they said, screw that. Dan was the best of all time, didn't have a team. Look at the numbers. But then you go, what about Terry Bradshaw? Oh, Bradshaw didn't have the numbers. What about Super Bowl rings? Well, it doesn't matter because the team he was on. So you can't win the argument. You can't win the argument. And then when you go to Brady, they say, oh, he's a whiner and he's got three Super Bowl rings, but it's because Bill Belichick. Then you go to Peyton Manning, they say, well, Peyton's good, but, you know, he's only got one. Then he's got all theirs. You go to Brett Favre, well, yeah, he may be durable, but look what he's done now late in his career. He should have retired. I mean, it doesn't matter where you go. Probably the only one that nobody ever has an argument with is Montana. I can make the argument that if Joe Montana was in Denver the years that John Elway was in Denver and you put Elway in San Francisco, that the 49ers would have six Super Bowls instead of four. I can make that argument, and that the Denver Broncos would have none. Can I not make the argument that Joe Montana's a system quarterback? You bet I can. There's only a handful of quarterbacks, and I mean some great ones, that can go to any system and survive. Every quarterback, in essence, a system quarterback. Warren Moon was a run-and-shoot system quarterback. Then he went to Minnesota to a pro style, kicked ass, and threw for 4,000 yards there, too. He proved he could cross over systems. So it's just funny. You can't win. People kill Danny for not having Super Bowl wins, but his numbers are great. People kill Terry for having Super Bowl wins but not having numbers. People killing Ben Roethlisberger. He doesn't have the numbers, what happened off the field, but, boy, he's going for his third Super Bowl ring. So you really can't win. The argument just is, but great points by everybody. But I can tell you this, we know where choke factor existed. Joe Flacco choked up this past week, as did Baltimore's defense. Ben Roethlisberger, choked down. I've always said, great quarterbacks look bored in pressure situations. They look bored. Now I want you to go back and think about Montana at his best, when he's dropping back, leading people on a drive. Did he not look bored and almost like he was going to yawn in between plays? Yeah, he sure did. Think about Brady when he's sitting in the pocket winning those Super Bowls, just kind of sits back there flat foot, kind of bored. Kenny Stabler and his Super Bowl wins, just kind of ho-ho-hum, let me put a cigarette in my mouth and go smoke. Think about it. Think about it. And Ben Roethlisberger, same way, drops back. It's kind of there's almost a sense of calm that when there's 4 minutes to go in the game, I didn't play in Pittsburgh, but there's almost a sense of calm that comes over me. If I was a Steeler fan, I'd say, oh, we're down three, Ben's got the ball, 4 minutes to go, oh, it's cool. And he plays bored. Not in their performance or their sense of urgency. There's a difference. When I say play bored, look at it. It's like when you watch Cliff Lee pitch or these great pitchers or Halliday when they're in a rhythm. They're not pounding fists in between plays. They're not pounding their chest. Drop, get the ball, step on a rubber, fastball on the black, 0-1. Get the ball on the rubber, high fastball, out of the strike zone. Hitter chases, can't catch up to it. 0-2, get the ball on the rubber, no facial change, wipe the sweat from your brow. Matter of fact, most of those guys, you don't even see sweat. Yeah, boom, take it. Cutter, inside, just missed, 1-2. Cutter, swing and a miss, sit down, strikeout number 9. That's what these guys do. The great ones look almost as if they're bored. Look at Jordan when he was playing, dribbling the ball up and down, just kind of, you know what, got the guy, boom, boom, Larry Bird, give me the ball, play with energy running up and down, but just kind of, calm, running off a pick, Ray, just give me a run, run guys around, pick, but when the ball's in my hand, I'm about to, it's just kind of a, oh, yawn, this is what I do, bingo. Great players, and quarterbacks in particular, look bored when they're in a rhythm and everything's going on around them, and Roethlisberger's got that. So when it comes to choke factor, there is no choke factor, he does not choke, or at least he hasn't to date. I don't see him choke very often. He may go 19, he may go in this game 14 out of 30. But something tells me, I played with a quarterback in Jim McMahon who won a Super Bowl, and you won't put in Jim in any of these top quarterbacks category, but one of the greats at looking bored and just, you looked and said, damn, but Jim's 8 of 21. How did we win that game? He just found a way to win, man. He found a way. And to me, you can keep the numbers. Dan Fouts, look at Dan. I guarantee Dan would trade in a 4,000-yard season for one of those rings that we thought he was going to get the year the Cincinnati Bengals beat him in that minus 59-degree temperature. Dan would trade one in. And you don't, you know what's crazy? There's never been a tougher quarterback in the pocket than Fouts. Dan will kick the living. I played again. That was crazy enough. My rookie year was Dan's last year, I think. Dan had a broken nose and had a full back face mask on, starting quarterback for the Chargers. We played against him. He was as tough, that bitch was as tough as there is. And I mean that affectionate. That was the toughest son of a bitch around. He'll stand in that pocket and grit his teeth and kick you in the balls when you walk by him. Dan didn't care because Dan couldn't run a lick. But he'll grit his teeth and stand in there as good as anybody. But you know what? You go through him and look at all the statistics Dan put up, Fouts, and what he did. You're not putting Fouts in your top 10. Why? Because he didn't win a Super Bowl. He got the numbers. You go to Fouts, he'll say, take that 4,000-yard season, cram it up your rear, and I'll take that Super Bowl ring. Competitive as hell. But he never gets mentioned. And you'll never find a tougher guy standing between the tackles than that fool. The timing and the ball coming out of his hand on those seam routes to John Jefferson and Wes Chandler, the crossing route to Kellen Winslow. Hey, I'm telling you what, there'd never been a better guy, a guy standing in that pocket better. Now, he looked odd doing it. That beard, those small calves, and drop back, kind of look herky-jerky dropping back. But when that fool set his feet, that ball came out on time and with accuracy. But we never mentioned Dan. It's crazy. So the argument about Roethlisberger is so valid. Some good, some bad. Love it. Love it. It's a hell of an argument. And hella points by AC and D-Man about Ben Roethlisberger. I want him on my team, folks. I want security around him in the bar, but I want him on my team. I want him on my team. And you know what? He didn't choke. A lot of times people wilt when somebody takes their captaincy away and you think, man, my players don't like me, and you go into the tank. He said, no, I'm going to turn and win their trust and respect back. And he did. And I promise you, you don't develop that. You're born with it. Roethlisberger was born with it. I'm just telling you. We're going to come back, talk about these four games, defenses and the perimeter play. And I'm also going to tell you why Charlie Sheen's got the best job in the world. He just does. Wouldn't it be great? I want to be Charlie Sheen. Or at least how he gets paid to do what he does. We're coming right back.
Looking for exciting video content live and on demand? Visit www.voiceamerica.tv for exclusive content you just can't find anywhere else. That's voiceamerica.tv. Tune in now.
Joe Cribbs, No Average Joe, is here for you, the fan, to hear about and discuss the week's top stories in the world of sports. We'll discuss not only the headliners, but you'll hear some of the smaller stories that don't usually make it on the sports wires today. It's a forum for the sports fan, hosted by Joe Cribbs, a three-time Pro Bowler with the Buffalo Bills. Joe is a 10-year pro football veteran, a former Southeastern Conference Most Valuable Player, and a member of the Alabama Sports Hall of Fame. Discuss the topics with Joe Cribbs, No Average Joe, Mondays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, on the Voice America Sports Network.
Super Bowl champ Lionel Dalton is taking to the internet airwaves with his own brand of sports talk. You'll go inside the mind of the players and find out if blacklisting really happens, what their thoughts are on training camps, where the former NFL players are now, and why being drafted by the wrong NFL team can kill a promising player's career. Lionel will also cover what's up with the Baltimore Ravens. Tune in to Sports Talk with Lionel Dalton live every Tuesday at 3 p.m. Eastern, 12 noon Pacific on the Voice America Sports Channel.
The fans now have a voice to speak their mind. No holds barred.
I just think that the coach made a mistake.
All crazy.
NFL, MLB, NBA, NHL. Speak up.
Speak up.
Or forever hold your mouth.
We ain't playing around here.
Voice America Sports.
You're locked in to Sean Salisbury Unfiltered on the Voice America Sports Channel. To make your voice heard, call in to 888-346-9144. That's 888-346-9144. Or send an email to seansals@gmail.com. That's seansals@gmail.com. Now, back to the show.
I'm going to hit this football stuff, and I'm going to finish up with why you can't hate Charlie Sheen. You can't, folks. I don't condone a lot of the stuff he does. Whether it's a wives and the fighting or you got to understand. It's kind of a tongue in cheek by me. But why it's good to be him, and that we all need this kind of love in our careers, so we can just kind of be ourselves. And you can't fault the guy for wanting to be him. You may not agree with it or condone it or want your daughter dating him, but I'll get into that in a second. Let's really quickly go through this, and I'll hit it all tomorrow. We'll break down quarterbacks tomorrow and a few of the intangibles tomorrow that help you in an NFC and AFC championship game. Defenses, let's go through it. I think that of all the different parts of a football team heading into a game, that the one common denominator all four of these teams have is their defense can win a game for them. And you can't always say that. I'm not so sure at times I would have been in the Indianapolis Colts in certain situations in this decade-long or so run that they've had of being really good. I'm not sure you'd say every team the defense could win a game for you. As a matter of fact, I'm quite sure that I can tell you most of the time they wouldn't have. Excuse me. That part I can tell you. I believe that. I believe that the Colts were offensive-minded with some great playmakers, Freeney, Bobby Sanders on there, but not a team that wins games by defense. That's not the Colts' MO. But in this one, I can tell you, and I'm going to tell you why. Let's go through it. Chicago Bears. Peppers take over. Urlacher. Tommy, they've got the element to dominate a football game, and they've done it. And you will have to, in a game like this, you always have to make sure you account for the best player. And the Packers going into this, they're going to key on one thing. They're going to say, if we're going to double anybody, we got to double Julius Peppers. We got to chip on the way out, help with a tight end and tackle. You have to do that, and Peppers is that guy for Chicago. I played against Lawrence Taylor. We played against Richard Dent, Minnesota. We had to do it. Played against Rod Woodson in Pittsburgh, and Pittsburgh had Elijah. You had to know. There are certain players you got to know where they are every snap of the ball. For Chicago, it is Julius Peppers. Athletic, can take it over, can control a game. Suggs for Baltimore. Some teams have more than one, and that's a great gig. And there's a team in this, and two teams in this playoff run that have more than one. Now, I'm not talking about more than one Pro Bowl or more than one star. I'm talking about more than one that can take over a game. It's hard for a safety or a corner at times to take over a game, but they do exist. Rod Woodson was that guy in Pittsburgh. His slot blitzing and the way he played, we had to locate Rod, and he was a big part of our game plan when we played against him in the NFL. And it's the same here. You got to know where I, and Peppers is the guy for Chicago. He can flat ass take over a game. Their competitor, we already know Clay Matthews. We've seen him take over in half a dozen games this year with his relentless pursuit of the quarterback or a ball carrier. So he's the guy that all week long the Bears are saying, and Mike Martz is saying, we've got to know, is he lining up on the left, the right, is he standing up, is his hand on the ground, who is he? That's the guy. Because there's a lot of times the Bears aren't overly sound in their protections, and they're going to leave free runners, and you can't leave Clay Matthews running free. But the difference is, if you key too much on Clay and let Rod Woodson blitz you off the edge, you've got a double-edged sword here, and you'll see those two guys at times line up on opposite sides of the field to try and draw the attention to Matthews or Woodson, and the other guy take over. They have two of them. In the AFC, the Jets, you know, and it's rare. Deion Sanders was kind of like this. I mentioned Rod Woodson, that this is the one team in the league that Revis has got to be. And you know where he's going to be. He's going to be guarding your best football player. But you got to know where he is, because he can take over a game. Now, the other part of that, in the Jets, they may not have the one guy at the linebacker or at the defensive end where you say know where he is. But what the Jets have is their schemes are so, there's so many and so many different pressures that you have to understand who to get and how to get them. And they are the team that you got to say, okay, are they rushing four? Are they rushing seven? Are they rushing eight? Are they blitzing? Are they selling out? Are they playing man? They're playing zone. The onus falls now on the five guys up front instead of just the tackle and the back of the tight end on a pass rusher like Peppers. You know where he'll be. Now you got to say, okay, they're showing four-man blitz over here, but are they going to drop out over here and bring four on the other side? The schemes and the disguises will be up, and it won't just be on the quarterback. It will be on the entire Pittsburgh Steelers team to understand, and Ben Roethlisberger and the offensive line, where the trouble's coming from. And on the other side, the Pittsburgh Steelers, you've got, you know, matter of fact, they got more than one or two guys. They've got three or four that you got to know where they line up. But it all starts, and you know, Woodley's one hell of a player. And you come inside, and they've got people that can control the line of scrimmage. But it goes down to this. You're outside the Woodley and James Harrison. Harrison's a phenomenal. He's a freak. And we've seen him take over games, catching balls and intercepting them, forcing fumbles, picking it up and running in. He plays with the motor, and he plays pissed the whole game. And then on the other side, you also got to know where Polamalu is. Anyway, he's one of those safeties, like Ed Reed, these guys who can take over a game because he blitzes. You play him in coverage, he'll make a phenomenal interception one play, then come sack the quarterback and cause a fumble the next. As impactful of a football player as we have in the league is Troy Polamalu, because he can change the course of a game with one swing of the bat. Now on the perimeter, you know, I'm going to hold the perimeter for the most part till tomorrow. I can get the perimeter in. I'll put perimeter receivers and quarterbacks in the same category along with the intangibles. But going into this, just off the top of my head, you say Bears, decent receiver. As a matter of fact, guys, you think about it, this may be the first time in a Final Four we've had the Final Four where you don't have one receiver. You say, oh, my gosh. Bears, Knox, good player. They get good players. Hester gets his hands on the ball. The Packers, Greg Jennings is probably that guy. I think Greg Jennings is as underrated a wide receiver as we have in the league. But you don't throw him in there when you talk about Andre Johnson and Larry Fitzgerald. But Greg Jennings can be that guy. I think Greg Jennings is as underrated a wide receiver as we have in the league. But you still, it's not like, oh my gosh, you realize you got to take away Rodgers. It's not Randy Moss's presence that you got to deal with. Greg Jennings is a hell of a player, but Driver's good. Jordy Nelson's good. But Greg Jennings, I think of all the receivers left, as far as the guy that can take over a game, he's probably it. Then you look at the Jets, you say Braylon, hell of a player. Sometimes drop ball, sometimes make spectacular plays. Santonio Holmes going back to Pittsburgh, been a Super Bowl MVP, can't take it, cannot, but neither one of them are in the Pro Bowl. but still good. They probably got the best. The Jets got the best, along with the Packers, when you talk about all-around receiving core as far as just playmakers, the different guys. Now, if you're talking about the all-around, if you count run game involved, then it's Hines Ward. Then Hines Ward, see, Hines Ward, in my opinion, is a Hall of Famer, folks. He is. You're going to say, well, what do you mean? Well, he put up good enough numbers, the best in Pittsburgh Steelers history at that position, but there's never been a better blocking receiver that's ever played the football game, ever. Ever. Rod Smith in Denver, maybe. But Hines has done it for, I mean, Hines Ward. And what Mike Wallace brings, they got, is Mike can run by you. He'll be the fastest receiver on the field, fastest player of the Final Four, probably. But like I said, is there? I'm trying to think. Does Green Bay have a Pro Bowl wide? I don't think Jennings made the Pro Bowl. I don't have it in front of me. Jets, no Pro Bowl wide receiver. I don't think the Steelers had a Pro Bowl wide receiver, and I don't believe I know Chicago didn't. So this is, have we ever had a Final Four that doesn't have a Pro Bowl wide receiver? Interesting, huh? Jennings, explosive, good player. Wallace, explosive. Hines Ward can catch 8 balls for 75 yards and knock the hell out of the linebacker 7 times in a game and make a huge impact. He's like a great point guard that doesn't score a lot. Hines is the type of guy who can go get you 8 points and then give you 16 assists and 14 rebounds. He's Rajon Rondo. Yeah, get you, you know, can have a game where Hines Ward can get 2 catches and make an impact in a game. I guess that's what I'm trying to say. It's just like a great point guard can score 6 and still make an impact in the game with leadership and protecting the ball and doing it. And that's what Hines Ward is. And he will knock the living hell right out of you. So while we don't have per se with the NFL what people would consider the superstar, we got the speed of Mike Wallace who can hit the home run, the all-around ability and the tenaciousness of Hines Ward. Greg Jennings, underrated, can explode. Donald Driver, consistency. So we've seen Braylon Edwards make great plays and then seen him disappear for a minute, but he's a big play. He kind of likes the stage. And then Santonio Holmes has been the MVP on the biggest stage, but we don't have a guy that's a Pro Bowl player at wide receiver. Been to Pro Bowls, yes, but this year, no. So it's kind of weird. It's kind of weird. So I guess I have covered the perimeter. I'll get to the tight ends tomorrow, but that's what you're getting here when you look at it. Maybe not the biggest strength of the teams, and in the end, one of those guys is going to have to make a play in every game to make it happen because these defenses are too good for one of your special wide receivers or one of your guys not to make a play. Now, real quickly, why you want to be Charlie Sheen? Who in the world doesn't want to get paid $100 million to have a show created by them for them where he gets to do what he does in real life? Chase ass and drink and make wise-ass comments and kind of gamble like he does in picking games. It is Charlie Sheen real, and Charlie, it's amazing. And then away from a show, Charlie goes and has fun. And you know what? Like CBS can say, well, Charlie, we'd like you to go to rehab, like you to do it. But they don't kick him in the ass and make him. He's making them way too much money. And every time there's controversy that surrounds him in Vegas, it gives you 18 more episodes on Charlie's show, and all the ratings do is go up. That's, look at our country, folks. We love the car burning on the side of the road. And you know what? I'd have a beer with Charlie Sheen, and I'd say, man, what goes on in your mind? What a great gig to get paid to be you. You may not agree with all he does, folks, but you want to be him. You want to be able to go to your job and live your life like you would at your job. Isn't that a great gig without somebody slapping you upside the head saying, you can't do that? He does it, and he wins it. We'll talk more about Charlie Sheen. He's become my new semi-hero. I want a job that allows you to do anything you want and make $100 million. I'm Sean Salisbury. We'll see you tomorrow breaking down the games. Great show today. Thank everybody at Voice America Sports and all my guests. We are unfiltered. Damn, I got to figure out a way to get a show like that. We'll be back tomorrow. You guys have a great day. Talk to you later.
Thanks for tuning in to Sean Salisbury Unfiltered. We hope you'll come back weekdays at 10 a.m. in the East, 7 a.m. in the West on the Voice America Sports Channel. Take care.